3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, now's your time to escape the service. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, right now is your time to go. Appreciate those who are working with you. God bless you. Thank you for serving the Lord in that way. I hope you have your Bible with you. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church around here. We give God the glory for it. I'm always honored to have my friend, a friend of this ministry, a dear man of God, Dr. John Reynolds, with us. And he's in the area for this meeting up in Bristol. And the pastor called me and said, "Hey, can you use him on Sunday night?" I said, "No, I don't really want." "No, I'm just kidding with you on that." He's a friend of our ministry here, and Dr. Reynolds, God bless you, sir. Welcome back to the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here. It's always a joy to see young men in the ministry, and I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that at times we look around, sometimes we think, "Wow, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? All of us old heads are gone." And then you see, yeah, God's still got something going on. But I'm glad to be with young preachers like your pastor here. And I'm always glad to be around folks like Brother Lashley. It's always good to be around folks that make me feel young. It's always. Yeah. Oh, my. I love old folks. Isn't that what George Yount said? I think a lot. But I want you to take your Bible and open it tonight to early in the book, in the book of Exodus. And early in the book of Exodus, I want you to turn to chapter 4. Heard a story the other day about a young man who just signed on and got hired Secret Service. And boy, he was trained and everything. It was just, you know, he was excited about it, nervous and excited. He got on the first detail to work with the president. First detail, he was out to work with the president. And they were on this thing, big deal, you know, and the president comes out of the building. He comes out of the building. And as he's coming out of the building, crowds on both sides, you know, everywhere like this. A man breaks out of the crowd and has a gun. And the young man, first day on the job, he was the first one to see it. And he yelled out, "Mickey Mouse!" And took the guy with the gun, took him off guard. He didn't, you know, didn't know what to do. And they were able to just capture him, subdue him, get him down, everything like that. And all the thing was over. And they were going back in their room where they detailed things and went over things, and the head of the CIA, the Secret Service, said to him, said, "Son, what in the world?" He said, "I know it's your first day, but you're nervous and everything like that, but where in the world did that Mickey Mouse thing come from?" He said, "I'm sorry, sir." He said, "I don't know where in the world that came from. I meant to say Donald Duck." Well, now that'll edify you, won't it? I'm going to read the first 5 verses, and we're going to walk through this passage a little bit and look at some things. And it's going to center around the question that God asked Moses in verse 2. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." I can hear him saying that. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it, which I would also. The Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." Now, Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, in reading this passage, he would say, "Moses said to God, God, I don't talk very good, and now I seem to have a problem with my hearing. Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail." Put forth his hand, caught it. It became a rod in his hand. that they may believe. It's just like all of this is God's word, that all the experience was God's word. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Now, Lord, I ask that you help us get something for our lives from your word in this time that will make a difference for time and for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 3, God begins a conversation with Moses at the burning bush. And this conversation goes on for 39 verses. If you just read it, and you read it out loud, it's going to take you about 9.5 minutes to read it. Unless you read it very quickly. But if you read it with any thoughts whatsoever. And so you've got to wonder how long this conversation really went on. Because they went through this thing. What is that in a hand cast on the ground? Pick it up. And they go through these questions back and forth. Moses questioning God. And God questioning Moses. Now, can you imagine that? Having that long of a verbal, audio conversation with God, where you audibly hear with your physical ears the voice of God speaking to you, and you answer him with your physical voice, and he responds in back and forth. It's a rather long conversation. I do not know anyone in Scripture, except the disciples while Jesus was on earth, that had longer conversations with God than Moses did. Moses had some very extended conversations with God, and they begin right here in chapter 3. And God calls Moses to leadership. And Moses has every reason in the world why he is not qualified, cannot do it, and should not do it, and why God doesn't know what he's talking about whenever he has called him to be a leader. It's an interesting situation. And you say, how could a man talking with God, you know, how could he argue with God and go on for that long a period of time and questioning God's wisdom in calling him? Well, why have some of you gone on years questioning God's call upon your life? Moses said, you know, they won't believe me. If I tell them, they won't believe me. Who am I? Who am I? Why would you call me? Who am I? God said, I'll be with you. He said, I don't speak well. I don't speak very well. He said, I'll be your mouth. I'll give you words. I'll give you everything you need. And Moses continues to argue with God. In verse 1 of chapter 4, he goes on with this asking. And so God says, okay, I'm going to show you something. It's like God becomes, and he does, the scripture says, God becomes angry with him. He becomes upset with him. He said, what is that in your hand? And I'm going to ask you the question tonight. What is that in your hand? The question that God asked Moses. Now, God's not asking for information, but he needs to call Moses' attention to this particular thing. What is that in thy hand? And Moses said, God, don't you know what that is? Well, of course God knows what that is. But he asks him, and he says, a rod. Now, a rod was a very common thing. It was not uncommon at all for a shepherd to have a rod. And Moses was a shepherd at this time in his life. He was a shepherd. That was his work. That's what he did. He had a rod. All shepherds had a rod. Whenever they went in to eat dinner, all of them lay the rods down at the door. Whenever they come back, everybody knew which rod was which because they were identified. They were very clearly identified. They were something they had chosen. It was an instrument they worked with. David said in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff. David was familiar with the instruments that a shepherd used in his work. They would put carvings on it. Perhaps Moses put a big M on the rod. No, I doubt he put an M because I don't think he spoke English. But anyway, they'd put markings on there. They'd take rocks and put a mark on it. Maybe they'd put some kind of a decorative thing on that, maybe a string around it or a piece of leather on it or something like that. But it was uniquely theirs. Now, it was a common thing, but it uniquely belonged to them. It had unique qualities. Now, isn't it interesting that all of us are common in that we are human? Okay. And probably here tonight, we're common in this area that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of us have things that make us unique. Sometimes there are things in which we excel. Sometimes there are things which may be within our lives a deficiency as we look at it. But we have things that are unique. What is that in your hand? What is it about you that makes you uniquely who you are? Maybe it's past experiences. Maybe it's what some people would call a handicap. Maybe it's a shyness, whatever. We'll come to look more about that, but what is it about you that makes you uniquely you? Another thing, it was a natural thing. This was not a supernatural thing. What is that in thy hand? It was a common, ordinary stick that Moses had found somewhere, and he looked at that, and he saw that thing as a piece of a limb, and he said, I'm going to cut that out. That's exactly what I need. That fits my hand. That's just the right size. It's the right length. It's everything about it is just right. It fits me. It fits me good. It was not something that God uniquely blessed him with and somehow miraculously came down from heaven, and God said, Moses, this shall be thy rod. It wasn't that at all. Sometimes we look for that God to bring to us whenever God is saying, what's in your hand right now? What do you have right now? The third thing I want you to notice, it was a tool of his trade. Now, I've mentioned this already, but it was what he did for a living. And it's interesting that he took the tools of his trade and he brought them into the service of God. I think it's wonderful whenever people do that. I think it's wonderful when a mechanic can work on church buses. I think it's wonderful whenever a person that knows how to fix things around the house and makes his living as a fix-it man can fix things around the church. I think it's fantastic. Lady in the church I pastored in Florida came to me. She said, preacher, I'm retiring. And she was very young to be retiring. She said, I'm retiring. And you know, she said, I do volunteer work at the school. And I'm a volunteer nurse at the school. She said, that's what I've done all my life. I'm a nurse. That's what I do. And she said, I thought if I do something like that around school, I'll be able to do something with my nursing at the church. Is there anything I can do? I said, wow, yeah. You can do something I need done. She said, what? I said, I want you to get that jacket or smock or whatever y'all call those things that nurses wear. And I said, I want you to put that on. I want you to put a stethoscope around your neck. I want you to get a blood pressure cuff. And what I want you to do is I want you to go visit some of our shut-ins and just check on them. And just walk in and said, you know, the pastor gave me something I could do for the Lord, and I'm coming by just to see you. And I just want to check your blood pressure. I want to check your heart rate. I'd like to look, see if you're taking your meds, if your meds are okay, if you're up to date on those and everything's going good. I'd like to check your heart. I'd like you to do that. I'd like to do that. I'm going to tell you what, Sigrid started doing that, and before long, there were people in rest homes There were people in retirement villages. There were people that lived in apartments and in mobile home complexes. That people were coming to them and said, what kind of church do you go to that sends somebody out here to check on you? It was absolutely fantastic. That was not anything that God dropped down from heaven to her. It was what she did, and she brought that into the service of the Lord, and it was a very practical help and a great spiritual impact to the people she talked with and ministered to. What a wonderful thing. I think about Randy Taylor. Randy had a tire shop. He did all kinds of mechanical work there. And I don't think he ever turned a wrench in his life, but he knew how to run a business. And he knew about that. But people would come in to get tires. Whenever they came in to get tires, they heard the gospel. And he brought what he did into the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm saying, if you'll be creative in what you do, you will find that God will use that in his work. What is that in thy hand? What do you have in your hand? Now I want you to notice he did something, this also. God made what he had in his hand a reminder of God's call on his life and on his power for the work. God said, verses 2 and 3 and 4, the interchange with God about that rod, cast it on the ground, it becomes a serpent. Do you think that after that time at the burning bush, after he reached down and took that serpent by the tail, at God's command, I find it interesting, he'd grab a serpent by the tail at God's command, but he wouldn't go deliver the children of Israel at God's command. Now, I would have had more argument about picking up that snake than I would have had about going down to Egypt. But that's the difference in people. Don't you know that every time after that, when Moses picked up that rod, he remembered that conversation with God at the burning bush? God turned that thing into a physical reminder of his encounter with God. Do you remember Jacob wrestling with the angel and would not let him go? And the angel of the Lord touched him, and the sinew of his thigh changed. And from that day forward, he walked with a limp. And every time Jacob would walk, he remembered that encounter with God. What is it in your life? What is it in your life? What will it be that God will use? Paul had a problem with his eyes. Some of you know, I don't know if he's ever been here or not. Has Adam Thomas ever been here? He's been here. Has Paul been here? Little Paul? Little Paul's Down syndrome. He's got to be, 45, 50 years old now. But he was a Down syndrome child. Born whenever Ab Thomas and Clarence Sexton were both on staff with Dr. Robertson in Chattanooga. And Paul was born. And he's just your heart hurt and everything like that. But Paul has taken that thing. And God uses that thing that people would say, oh, what a shame, what a shame. And Paul will get up behind and speak at the Friends Conference at Temple Baptist Church in Powell. And he'll have his notes out there, and big notes and written very simply, but he'll say, for God so loved the world, he gave. And God will use him, and God has given him an outlet to serve him because of what he has in his hand. Instead of saying, I can't do that, I can't do that. You know, there's people who can speak wonderfully. They're kind of like Moses. Moses said, I'm slow of speech. I don't talk very well. But he was probably the most educated Jew on the earth at that time. Been trained in the schools of Egypt. Been trained as a son of Pharaoh. And He had things going for him, but he looked at the negative side of things. But rather than looking at the negative side of things, what we've got to do is say, God, how can you take this and use it in my life for your glory? And that way, every time you use that thing that you look on as a negative in your life, as a thing that is something that makes you less than what you would like to be, it reminds you of God's power. It reminds you of God's call. It reminds you that God is sovereign over all, and God can take that that we don't evaluate very highly, and He can use it for His glory. What is that in thy hand? Now I want you to look very quickly, verse 17. Verse 17. He brought what he had into the service of God. And God said, thou shalt take this rod that is in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And he simply acted on God's command. And he took that rod. And with that rod, he went to Egypt and he touched the water and it turned to blood. He touched the dust and it turned to lice. He held it out over the Red Sea. And the Red Sea rolled back to make passage for the children of Israel to go through. He took that same rod. He smote the rock and water came out. That rod, what is that in thy hand? Who knows what that common, ordinary thing that is yours, that makes you uniquely you, cannot be mightily used of God in God's work? Look in verse 20. This is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. In verse 20, Moses took his wife, his sons, and set them on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took, if you have your Bible open, what does it say? The rod of God. What Moses had, that was just common, that was just ordinary, but that was given to God, and God said, take it into work. Now it was no longer Moses' rod. It was God's rod. You see, now it's no longer Moses' slowness of speech. It's God's slowness of speech. You say, it's no longer Paul Thomas's Down syndrome. It's God's Down syndrome. It's no longer God's weakness. It's no longer your weakness. It's God's weakness. What do you have in your hand? What is it that God right now, and you're thinking about it right now, you're thinking about it right now, maybe an experience, maybe a characteristic, maybe a failure, maybe whatever. But in your mind right now, God's bringing that thing to your mind that if you'll yield it to Him, it will be no longer yours. It will be His that He will use miraculously for His glory. In the harvest field, now ripened, there's work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to His harvest, calling you. Little is much, sing it with me if you know it. If God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if you're here tonight. And God sort of put a finger around in your life a little bit and said, why don't you just let me have that thing that you're looking at as very insignificant or perhaps even something that's detrimental to you. It may be your shyness. It may be your lack of education. It may be a physical defect. It may be an emotional problem. Why don't you just let him have it? How many of you say right now, preacher, I'm thinking of something that I need to give to God. Would you raise your hand? I'm thinking of something I need to give to God. Now, I don't know what you need to do. I don't know whether you need to do it right there or whether you need to come down here. Most of the time, a private decision needs to be associated with a public confession of it. But if you'd like to come forward, I would encourage you to come right now. What song are you going to sing for us? What a better song could we sing than that? Our song leader is going to sing for us in just a moment. Whenever the piano plays the first verse, if God's speaking to your heart and you say, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that with this thing that God has spoken to me about tonight. Why don't you just do it? As the piano plays and our singer sings, will you come?
All to Jesus I surrender. All
is now the time? Is this your time?
Give.
Is this your time?
I will ever love
and
trust
why not?
Him. In his presence
I surrender all.
Live. I surrender all.
Why argue with God about it any longer?
I surrender.
Why argue with him and say you can't? Why don't you just say, Lord, here it is.
All to thee, my blessed Savior,
Pastor.
I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
Softly, you can look this way for just a moment. I couldn't help but think, Brother Reynolds, I have at least a couple of those. And I couldn't help but think of my stuttering problem. I associate with Moses. Oh, Lord, I can't speak well. I have a stuttering issue where I kind of repeat myself. Sometimes I get nervous and I freeze up. Feel like I can't speak at all. And God called me to preach. I'm living proof that what this man preached is true. You give it to God, he can do so much with it. So much with it. I was thinking as he was preaching, if we would all just grab what this dear man of God is preaching and act on it, my, what a difference we could make in our area, in our world. Just give it to God. You're unique. We've known that about ourselves, right? We're unique. Thank God for it. I'm going to have Brother Gary sing that first verse again. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And right before he sings, let me encourage you to do this. The altar's open. If somebody's here that's never trusted Christ, please come, let us take a Bible and point you to Jesus. But I encourage you right now to do one of two things. Either come forward and give it to God, or just right there at your seat, why don't you thank God for what he's put in your hand? I'm going to thank God here just privately in my heart. Brother Gary sings, thank you, God, for giving me this stuttering problem. It causes you to trust him. Realize you can't do it without him. So let's praise him for it. If you need to come forward, there's time for you. As Brother Gary sings, let's do this, shall we please?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust trust Him in His presence daily.
Brother Reynolds, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to make your way to the lobby. Daniel, if you'll escort him out there, folks will want to greet you. Brother Bob Sanders, if you wouldn't mind to come up here with me, I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer. Good to have Evangelist Bob Sanders with us. I was handed this note here as we dismiss in prayer. A student at Crown College left from work Saturday afternoon and has gone missing. His name is Blake Smith. So Blake Smith is a college student at Crown, left work Saturday and has gone missing. So let's pray for this Blake Smith. Pray for this service. And it's good to have you here with us too, sir. God bless you. You dismiss us in prayer. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, let us be mindful of this young man that has left. But Lord, we're glad that Thou art a God that knows exactly where he is. And Lord, I pray that You would be even pleased now to be given to give direction and guidance. That be Your perfect will that they would find him in a condition helpful, be able to meet his needs. Lord, I pray that You'd calm the fears of his family and his friends, comfort them knowing that You're in control. And Lord, tonight we thank You, Lord, for the privilege of hearing the Word of God. Lord, even as been preached, Lord, I pray that You would take that which is in our hand, mold it and make it, and then become something useful in Your hand. Lord, I pray that You would make this message something that we cannot get away from, even from a night's sleep. Thank You for this great church, the dear men of God that You've put here. Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way now in our hearts and lives. Give us safety as we travel. We love You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.